We had the privilege of having this Christmas season our children, in this case our great-grandchildren, and I'm looking at our great-grandchildren and I'm thinking how wonderful it is that a child can be born, especially when you think of the fact that God himself was able to turn himself into this child that was born, Christ Jesus, that baby Jesus. And I kind of wanted to move on from the Christmas message. We've gone over that with regard to the wise men and so forth. And I wanted to take a little bit different approach today. And these grandchildren, great-grandchildren, kind of brought to mind this term that you find in the scripture with regard to our being as being fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the title of our study this morning, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. One of the major problems among carnal Christians is doubt. And it's not doubt on the periphery, it's doubt at the heart. Sometimes they simply cannot comprehend the love of God and the truth as presented to us in Scripture. The main reason for this is ignorance of God's Word. You've heard me say that doubt is equal to the ignorance of the Scripture. The less you know, the greater your doubt. So many carnal Christians take it on faith, but are missing the joy and the peace of an understanding based on his perfect word. And that rascal Satan is tricky, sly, to say the least, persistent. So now considerable skill is required to keep doubt away in this day and age. But once a student of Scripture dives in, the Holy Spirit will provide a whole list of antidotes that cure the doubt. And here, I want to just list a few of those to consider before we take a closer look at one. Evidence that lends great credence to the validity of Scripture. First is the unity of Scripture. Many writers over thousands of years, royalty, fishermen, shepherds, tent makers, all writing about the same subject over hundreds and thousands of years, yet when finished, you have a perfect Masoretic text without collaboration, and it's in a perfect outline form. These guys had no way to know what the other guy was writing about, and yet it's all there in what is known as the Masoretic text in a outline form. Another amazing thing is prophecy itself, the accuracy of prophet to the day, of the prophet's accuracy today and 500, 1,000 years in advance beforehand, and yet these things were prophesied that came to be. Another is the indestructibility of Scripture. No other book could withstand the onslaught of Satan like God's holy word. It's been banned. It's been blamed, botched by writers and translators. And yet it's a book that has been able to endure translation. Example, can you imagine trying to translate the scripture into Chinese? It's almost impossible unless you have what God has prepared And that is a word that's based on form. The Word of God is based on forms and not on exact words themselves. And so the Scripture has been translated into, I think, over 1,200 different languages. Almost an impossible to do with any other language. Another reason is the collaboration of Christ. He constantly quoted and used scriptures, and they became true as a result of him, and yet they were written hundreds, if not thousands, of years prior to his birth. Another reason is the stars. God's purpose and plan is written in the equinox. The names are given of those stars before man could even see some of them. For example, before man built ships that were big or good enough to go around the Cape of the Good Horn, man couldn't even see some of the stars that they had names for because they were given by God. Another reason is Bible numerics. Whole system of Scripture is based on numerical values of each letter in each word in both the Hebrew and the Greek. Another evidence is archaeology. To date, nothing has been found to disprove Scripture. That's amazing. Nothing. Everything found archaeologically has only collaborated and confirmed what Scripture has to say. But the last thing I hesitate to mention, of course, is science. And why? Because there's a danger of science and inspiration, because you can, lest one bends the Scripture to fit science. That doesn't work. However, when doing so, the secular always gives way to Scripture. And so, one field of science I want to look at today is an interesting with regard to our subject, and that is the subject of quantitative physics. Fasten your seatbelts. Bear with me. Scripture is coming with regard to this. Early in 1990, and I was thinking how that's 32 years ago. I can hardly believe it. Early in 1990, Dr. Valdemir Popambin was on loan from the Russian Academy of Science to the American Research Institute. There, he conducted an experiment that showed DNA directly affects the physical world. Controlled light waves in a vacuum was his experience, his experiment. And when he introduced DNA into the light waves, they took on the pattern. The light waves took on the pattern of DNA in his experiment. Here, an invisible and unknown force of the DNA made light waves conform to the troughs and the crest of DNA. These are now known as photons. But the big surprise came when the DNA was removed. The light waves remained the same. They did not return to their previous state. Dr. Valdemir checked and rechecked the same thing always. And this has become known as the DNA phantom effect. At this point, word starts to travel through the scientific people around the world, and Stanford and the Heart Institute got involved. They had DNA in a glass vial, and they placed it in the hands of an actor capable of changing emotions. He could do rage to laughter, peaks and valleys of emotion. These emotions had direct effect on the DNA in the vial. Repeatedly and predictably, they could measure the emotions of the actor in the glass vial that contained the DNA. Now, you might not be surprised the U.S. military steps in. INSTICOM, U.S. Intelligence and Security Agency. They took DNA from a donor and put it across the room from the donor. They showed the donor videos of emotion, war, humor, love, erotica, and the DNA responded as the donor did. Nothing in between the two. This individual, his DNA in a vial, and he affects it over here, and he's not connected in any way. The DNA responded as the donor. How far apart would this work, the U.S. military thought? Well, they put the vial in the next room. That didn't seem to change anything. So they thought, well, let's try it. So they went a mile away. It didn't change anything. They did 10 miles, no change. 50 miles, no change. 300 miles, they gave up. This didn't happen over time, but instantaneously, no time required. Get this in your mind. Here's the donor of the DNA, and 300 miles away is the DNA in the vial. And when he laughs, the DNA changes. When he cries, the DNA changes. Out of this research came at least three important things that we now understand. One, there is a field of energy previously unknown and yet understood that works independently, 300 miles apart, simultaneously, and collaborative with the donor. The second thing is the physical nature of DNA, its helix coil, it's twisted. Love, compassion, gratitude, kindness causes it to unwind or get longer. Anger, hate, malice causes this DNA to tighten or shorten. And you know what that looks like. This is a DNA strain. And it's colored. The strands are not only colored, but they're twisted. It's amazing stuff. I think. Who says there's nothing new under the sun? Right? Or is there? No, not in this case. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Beginning with verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yet the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. I want to share with you an enlightening and wonderful thing in these last four verses. And it will help erase doubt. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The word covered there is the Hebrew word 5526. It's saw cock. The last meaning is to cover over. The next to last is to fence or hedge about. But the root word of covered, the root meaning is to entwine like a coil or spring. In 1611, translators knew nothing of DNA, but David did in 920 BC. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. The word substance there is Hebrew word 1563, galam. It means to wrap an unfinished mass. And then in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. That's not imperfect. That is unperfect. That means it's not yet completed. To wrap an unfinished mass, not yet completed in the mother's womb. In verse 15, the word curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Curiously is Hebrew word 7551, rakam. The last meaning is to curious, is curious work. Well, it's curious, all right. It's not perfected. You don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Next to the last, the meaning of that word is needlework. But the root meaning is to embroidery variegated color. God saw you whole and complete when none of your members were yet complete. Only a program. But he knew you. He, this baby Jesus, of course, was made in the likeness of man, was made in the same way. Can you imagine what's going on here? The substance was, you start to look at the subject of abortion, and you begin to realize that here is something that's programmed by God Himself that's unperfect, not imperfect. It's being formed, a substance, a human, and the DNA is being suggested here in the root meaning to embroidery, variegated color, and DNA is in color. Shows how far and how deep the scripture really goes. What have we learned? Well, knowledge is power when it comes to doubt. Science in this case collaborates scripture. Finally, science comes to a knowledge of the truth after 5,000 plus years. And David was writing about it in 920 BC. Science, if properly used, can add to the list of things that let us know that this is truth. Doubt is subdued, and that we are wonderfully and marvelously made. In conclusion, I want to jump back up to verse 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Like the donor of the DNA 300 miles from the vial of his own DNA can cause it to change based on emotion. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Our greatest need is to in turn, as Paul suggests in Ephesians 6:20, to know him and the power of his might. And when we do, when we can understand and see into some of these marvelous things that we find in Scripture that don't appear on the surface, but only to those who study to show themselves approved. When we do, doubt can never take its toll. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're mindful of us, that you know us. We're grateful that you loved us. We're thankful for this baby Jesus that has come in, the salvation that comes through him. We're thankful for the written word that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that our doubt can be erased as a result of what you have given us. Pray for each one here that we all may continue to grow this coming year in the grace and knowledge of you. I pray that we all each here might be rooted and grounded in your love towards one another as a group of the one body in Christ. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.